keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Final Hooter, only on the best hospital radio station around. That's Radio General, of course, your local hospital radio station, and courtesy of loverugbyleague.com. Now, my name's Dave Parkinson, and we've got a jam-packed show this evening, as we will look back over the Challenge Cup final. We'll have some reaction both from the coaching staff, Brian McDermott of Leeds Rhinos, Daryl Powell of Castleford Tigers. We'll also be hearing some player reaction from the likes of Kevin Sinfield, Kylie Lulai, Rob Burrow, Tom Briscoe and Zach Hardacre. There's myself and Steve Manning, of course. And, well, we've also got a look back over what's happened in the Championship and Super League, and a look ahead to round 25, where it's the state of mind round. But to kick us all off, it's usual that Adrian, who isn't here at the moment, I'm not quite sure where he's got to, but never mind, he usually starts us off with the good, the bad and the ugly of Rugby League. So, here's this week's edition. In the good, Leeds Challenge Cup success after 15 years. That's 15 years without lifting that particular trophy. They've lifted every other trophy, so that's really good for the Leeds Rhinos club. Also, very positive news from a British coaching point of view, with the news that Chris Chester has become the first homegrown coach of Hull Kingston Rovers for, about 10 years, I think. I think they've gone all Australian prior to that, but really good to have an Englishman in charge over there at Hull Kingston Rovers. In the bad, well, the only bad of the week was the empty seats at Wembley. I know the Rugby League named a crowd of 77,000, but I don't know how. The whole middle section was virtually empty. There was big swathes of empty seats as well around Wembley, but I suppose we've got to go on with what the Rugby League have said, haven't we? And in the ugly, well, I think we may have touched upon this, or we were approaching it in our last edition of the Final Hooter, and that was the points deduction that's been suffered by Doncaster and Batley. Now, both those clubs needing the points for different reasons. Doncaster have been charging up the league and looking for a top four finish all season. They've been playing some really attractive rugby down there at the Keep Moat Stadium. While Batley, they've needed the points to avoid relegation out of the bottom of the Championship. With five clubs going down, every point has been critical this season. So a 3-point deduction for both of these clubs at this stage threatens both top four ambitions and survival hopes. I said that we'd start off regarding the Challenge Cup. Obviously, we all know what happened at Wembley. I've got two little segments that I want to play for you. Involved in this is Steve Manning from Radio City, and I'd like to thank his involvement in this particular show. So hear from him and myself, first of all, discussing things before the game at Wembley, and then afterwards. Well, Steve, here we are at Wembley Stadium, the Challenge Cup final, the biggest day in the Rugby League calendar. Forget your grand finals. For me, this is still the day. As always, throughout the...
You can't, course, Steve, you can't say that.
What do you mean?
I can't say that, because it's all about the grand final.
No, it's all about the Challenge Cup. It's a special show.
We're not talking Super League.
We're not talking Super League, we're talking Challenge Cup.
Sorry. Go on.
Anyway, I'm not sure what's happened to Adrian. He's meant to have been here, but his shower must have broken down somewhere between Widnes and London. So I've drafted yourself in, Steve Manning. I hope that you're an able substitute for us.
Yeah, just put the brown envelope in the back pocket when I get off the seat.
Okay, have you got a brown envelope? Because I don't seem to have brought one of those. I couldn't get it past the security men here at Wembley.
Well, I've got big hands for the wodge.
Okay. But looking ahead to this game, Leeds and Castleford, it's one of those you can just about squeeze a cigarette paper between these two sides, can't you, because of how things have gone over the course of the season.
Yeah, it's, we would have hoped it. I mean, I call it Lancashire, but being corrected, we're hoping for an All-Cheshire final, but it wasn't to be. But you've got probably two of the form sides in the comp, and that's not taking out the results last week when they both put sides in with a lot of players out, but both have played consistently well. I think Castleford Tigers have surprised us and a lot of people. We've been all expecting them to have a blip and blow up, but it hasn't worked, has it? You know, the two losses after the one at Wigan, loss at St Helens, and I've enjoyed watching Castleford Tigers this year.
Let's just talk about Castleford for a moment, because Daryl Powell has gone in there. He went in, what, 12, 15 months ago now. He's turned that club right around. I mean, you know,
I knew Ian Millward quite well, and I know that he was under an awful lot of stresses and strains, you know, but Darrell's gone in there, wiped the slate clean with everybody, and he's got them jumping through hoops and playing a really exciting brand of rugby, hasn't he?
Well, everybody, let's be quiet, there's a lot of people, all disrespect to them, we're perhaps tipping them to get relegated after how they finished last year, and we knew that Rangy Chase was leaving, because whatever Castleford did, it was all through Rangy Chase last season, even while Darrell was there when he was fit. When he went and the other players lost, and there was a lot of doom and gloom, but he kept faith with the players that he had, and he brought some other useful people in. I mean, let's be quite honest, who would have thought that we'd be watching Mr. Shenton today? I've seen him play, academy class player, but he was surplus to requirements. He's absolutely gelled superbly. That. So the squad, and they're all playing for him, and they're all playing as a team, aren't they?
So let's switch tail. Let's talk about Leeds, obviously the Cup Kings of the modern era. I know we said we wouldn't talk about Super League, but the pedigree is in that competition. They want to add this Challenge Cup to the sideboard, though, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you try and differentiate with Cup Kings, I relate to the winners of a year, so the Cup. But in Grand Finals, they can win them without getting out of jail, can't they? But in the Challenge Cup Final, they can't do it. Albeit, I know they've won away from Wembley, haven't they? I mean, I was at that last Wembley, just short. You know, you show how old I'm getting now. I was at that last Cup Final when they got 50-odd points against London Broncos, and it was superb that day.
It was only 15 years ago, that, Steve.
Well, I know.
Where's them 15 years gone?
I don't know, Dave. That's when they had now. I've got less now.
I was a lot younger and a lot slimmer, Steve.
Well, the Richard Gere hair wasn't Richard Gere hair then. but you know, that was a fantastic Cup Final. To think, like, it's 1999 since they won it. It's a long time without drinks, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was the day when they had Leroy Rivette running up and down the wing for him. He got four tries on that day.
Got him as first try scorer as well.
Did you?
Yes.
So you succeeded in the sweep.
I did very well on the sweep. I even got Man at Match, but we're not good owners.
Don't
Steve Manning memories.
Don't go down there. No. It's not Manning's memories. Although, you never know, position on the show could be yours.
Please, Rhinos. I mean, they've got a fantastic setup there, and you talk about the golden age of the players that are coming, you know, beginning of the 30s, early 30s, and will they get a chance? Is this their last chance? Will they have another chance? And in rugby league, football, it would be great if they could do it, but, you know, there is an animal at the other side called Castleford Tigers, and they'll be wanting to do it. Darrell Powell has done it with Leeds, he's coached Leeds, and now he's trying to coach their downfall, and they've had two cracking games this year in that other competition, haven't they? When King Kev got sent off.
Yeah.
I had to mention that.
You had to mention it, yeah, you didn't have to talk about it. We could always have a prediction off you as well, Steve.
Right, the heart says Castleford Tigers. Oh, the head says Castleford Tigers, so Tigers.
I'm going to say this for Adrian's benefit, because all the way through this Challenge Cup run, he's been sampling the pies and pastries that have been up and down the country. So we're off to see whether we can do exactly the same. Well, Steve, we saw a really good Challenge Cup final in the end, but neither of us will make tipsters.
No, we got it completely wrong, didn't we, Dave? And I do agree, it's the best cup final we've had at Wembley today. To make it a fantastic final, we needed Castleford to score to give us a grandstand finish. But it wasn't to be, and you've got to say they were very, very good Leeds, weren't they?
I thought that Leeds in the first half, they started off at a great pace, didn't they? Similar to how they did in the semi-final against Warrington. The kicking game was bob on. The way that they applied themselves defensively was also very solid. And they hit them for the first try after 5 minutes through Tom Briscoe.
Yeah, they're a bit unlucky there when you think about it, Castleford, because I think they acted on and it just didn't bounce right for them, and they got the ball back in for that next set. They went down that right channel and beautiful handling, and they were in for the opening try, but as much as a try, that kick from Sinfield from the touchline, I mean, it hit 6-0. I mean, what a great confidence boost that must have been for him and for the side, but they looked as if they were in control, but Castleford came back, didn't they?
They did, yeah. There was a try from Darrell Clark after 11 minutes. That came after a little kick from Mark Snead. Now, unfortunately, Snead was unable to add the conversion, but it was a nice try anyway, wasn't it?
It certainly was. It was a clever little try, wasn't it? And, you know, we were hoping that they'd come back, and they did. And it was game on then. I mean, they had a little bit of pressure, but I'd say then from about 15 minutes, perhaps for the rest of the half, then Leeds turned that screw, didn't they? You know, they strangled the energy out of the Castleford Tigers, didn't they?
And Danny Maguire at the helm of everything that was good about Leeds at that particular point. His link-up play with the likes of Burrow and Sinfield, it's legendary, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, they've been playing together, so to speak, half a dozen of them for over a decade now, haven't they? And, you know, they know each other's game inside out, and, you know, it's only occasionally that there's a flat pass or there's a mistake sort of thing. But he controlled it, you know, not, you know, the backs and bringing the forwards in, and, you know, he was involved in the try, wasn't he? The second try, which came as touch of deja vu, a similar start is when they defeated Warrington Wolves 2 weeks ago with a scintillating break by Zach Hardacre on a kick retrieval.
Yeah, and then it ended up with a high kick going up in the air, a contest between Maguire and Luke Dawn, which wasn't really a contest in the end, and I think Maguire was in the right place at the right time, wasn't he, to take advantage of that sun.
Well, it was, and again, Burrow kick, you know, how often has it happened sort of thing, you know, it was like the old firm, wasn't it, you know, the Quality Street, and that's what it was Quality Street, and it was a great try, you could say, where was Luke Dawn's support, because it looked like General Custer, didn't it, but fair play, the ball went up and he took it, and well, they were in cruise control then, weren't they?
Ryan Hall then scored after 25 minutes. The conversion was missed on that occasion, but 16-4 was how it remained at the break, and to be honest, Leeds deserved it, didn't they?
They did, they played some stuff, and perhaps you know, if they'd have got another try before half time, it'd have been game over. So you've got to give some credit to that Castleford Tigers defence, but they looked just in supreme control, didn't they? And in that first half, they didn't get any of the Tigers danger players. You know, your likes of your Justin Carney on one wing and the guy on the other side, any chance. Sadly, and I think I did mention it, was the UB factor. It didn't pay off in that, especially in that first half, did it? And Snade come off as well. Whether that was because he'd been missing one of them crucial tackles when Rhinos were attacking him out. But, you know, will we prove wrong with Craig Huber?
To refer to the Tigers, though, I mean, they had the best of the opening of the second half, didn't they? And they scored the first try of that second half. A great movement down the left-hand side, kick-started by a missed pass from Jamie Ellis. Mm. He seemed to get clattered in the background. Luke Dawn handed it on. Shenton straightened the move up, and then real sensible inside ball for Oliver Holmes.
Clever play by Shenton. If Steve McNamara picks players on form, you've got to say that Shenton will be going to Australia at the end of the season. Again, he had his wing on his outside, and I thought, is he going to give it to Carney, have a blistering run down side, but he came down that, went, saw that gap, and a beautiful inside ball, and Oliver Holmes, it still needed scoring, didn't it?
It did. At that time, the Tigers were flying, and they were really coming at Leeds, weren't they? And probably did for the next 10 minutes, and it took a really good defensive effort from Leeds to hold them at bay. And in the end, like a good boxer, they rose off the deck, didn't they, and managed to do the old 1-2, and Ryan Hall gets in for his second.
Yeah, again, it was a good try, but like you say, they do it week in, week out. You know, all right, I know they've not won the first time they've won the Challenge Cup, they've got that bogey and elephant off their head sort of thing, but they do it so well. They're used to soaking up pressure, and that try was always going to, whoever scored next was going to be the game change. You know, we'd have been on the edge of our seats saying, what a fantastic final comeback. It was a superb try, and again, it was a try that really shouldn't have scored, and that's no disrespect to the Castleford defence, but when he went over, they had that 12-point buffer then, didn't they?
And
they
did.
Good old Danny Maguire.
Well, he was our choice for man of the match, to be honest, wasn't he?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the final count was for the Landstad, and don't get me wrong, Ryan Hall's played really, really well, and he shows that he can score in the big games. He's done it for his country here, and he got those couple of tries against Warrington 2 weeks ago, and I think in the cup run, in fact, I think he may have scored one. You probably tell me right or wrong. Did he score a try against Lee?
I think he did. It wasn't late on. That was one of the first tries that Leeds scored. From a Lee point of view, though, seeing as you've mentioned it.
Yeah, go on.
It is quite nice to actually see the team that's beat your side go on and win the cup.
Cheers, it's great because, I mean, all right, nobody gave Lee a cat in hell's chance apart from, you know, the loyal, fanatical Lee supporters, including yourself. Well, that was a fantastic game, and it was just in the last 10 minutes. And when you think about going back to that game, if buts and maybes.
Well, Steve, my thanks. We'll go and get some post-match reaction.
OK.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Leslie McKay, infection control nurse's five top tips for visitors.
The most important thing you can do to reduce the risk of infection is to wash and dry your hands before visiting. If you or someone at home is unwell with a cold, vomiting or diarrhoea, please don't visit until you are feeling better. Please do not bring in food until you have discussed this with the nurse in charge. Don't let your visitors sit on the bed and keep the number of visitors to a minimum. Never touch dressings, drips or other equipment around the bed.
Infection control. Together we'll beat it.
Find out more. Go to radiogeneral.co.uk.
This is
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter.
Yes, it is the Final Hooter, only on Radio General and loverugbyleague.com. My name's Dave Parkinson, and, well, we were listening before to myself and Steve Manning chewing the fat over the Challenge Cup final, which resulted in Leeds winning it by 23 points to 10. And the Lance Todd Trophy winner was Ryan Hall. Now, me and Steve were both debating at the time about how close the vote was. It was a really, really close vote, actually. There was 14 votes for Ryan Hall, 12 votes for my man of the match, which was Danny Maguire, and 5 votes for Robbie Burrow. Now, I said that we'd be going off to get reaction, and that is just what we did. So here is myself and Steve getting reaction from the relevant coaches.
I've just been saying to a fair few people, it's going to take a while to come up with the right phrase to give that justify the feeling. It's massive. Because we've been striving for that for so long, the club's been striving for that for so long. You know, to eventually get it, it's a big, big feeling at the moment. I'll put it into better words if you ask me on Monday, probably. But to watch the players, I don't know whether it's a sense of relief or elation, I'm not sure, but they're an emotional group at the moment, the players. All the staff at the club who've been wanting that for so long. You know, you feel part of that. You feel like you've delivered something. You know, personally, I feel like I've delivered something. And for the fans who have endured every single carry and tackle that we've been involved in Challenge Cup finals, and for 6 versions of them, we've picked up the silver version of the medal, but today we pick up the gold version, and that's a big feeling. I felt we was in control of the game, but never really got away with it either. Never really felt comfortable. Castleford, as we know, are a great team, and they didn't jag their way there, and they're at the right end of the ladder, and we knew. And they proved in the second half, you know, a couple of players here and there, and they scored a try, and it's game on again. I thought we didn't really let go of that game throughout. Great, you know, credit to Maguire and Sinfield and Rob Burrow, they managed that really, really well.
A lot of it's down to the history, the journey there. And while I've not coached every one of those 6 losses before, I feel it as well. You know, you answer the questions, and we got here at 11 and we got here in 2012, and you feel that mounting pressure. It's a different feeling completely.
They're just work machines. That back row we've got, Carl Ablett, Brett Delaney and Jamie Jones Jr. They're just, well, they're all very skillful people, and Carl Ablett in himself, I think, is a really good back rower in terms of what he can give you. He's got a lot of strike and a lot of skill, but what probably gets overlooked is the amount, how much hard work they do for each other. And all that back three, just back row there, enables us to not make a sub. And JP, you know, I don't know, I'm going to have to go see some sort of people in the Middle East to go and try and negotiate how you get him off the field, because he won't come off the field. I need some skills to negotiate him off there, but I think that had a big bearing as well, because then we could freshen blokes up. I thought when Bailey came on, he did a good job, which allowed Carey to come back on. Ian Kirk played his part, and Paul Ayton did as well, and young Liam Sutcliffe gets a gold medal. He's spoilt, Kev, isn't he? We like him to go through 6 losers first before we give him a gold medal.
Well, Castleford Tigers coach Daryl Powell, it wasn't to be, unfortunately.
No, disappointing day. I thought our performance was well off. Their performance was right where they needed it to be, and as a result, they were too good for us. So, you know, pretty disappointed that we didn't do ourselves justice, and that's I think that's the biggest disappointment from us is, you know, if we'd have played as well as we can and got beat, then you can cop it on the chin then. But you know, I don't think we were great today.
But you responded well to that early try, and then for the next 10 minutes got involved, but then you were 2 tries in 8 minutes.
Yeah, it goes just for half time. Just some of the tries we conceded were pretty soft. You know, boys, a couple of boys in there will be disappointed with themselves that we didn't deal with the threats. I mean, they were just too good first half. You know, 16-6 at half time. We were far away. I thought we had a chance, but we had to change. We had to be better mentally. We had to be better with the ball. We had to defend a fair bit better because they were punching fair holes in us. So we got better second half, but not good enough to challenge Leeds.
Because you got that try, didn't you, 7 minutes in, and then you needed to push on, but, you know, like you said, Leeds just had that, no disrespect, that little bit more big game experience, perhaps.
Well, their players just play better than us today, so, that's the top and bottom of it, you know, they just perform better than us today.
But now you've got to pick yourself up, haven't you? I mean, you could say now that Bradford Bulls are relegated, they're one of the form teams, and you've got to play them at the weekend, and they'll be thinking, well, what sort of Castleford Tigers are they going to meet?
Yeah, well, that's the thing we've got to do. We've got to respond. You know, Bradford are going to be rubbing their hands together, thinking, yep, here we go, we can chalk another one off here. Well, that's just down to us, is how we respond. We've got to respond in the right way, really positively, and come back and fight our way out of a really disappointing day for us today.
Because of the loss last week at Warrington, the top spot's gone, but he's basically trying to get as high as you can in these last three games.
Yeah, well, top spot's not as gone. It depends what happens with St Helens. I mean,
just thinking they've got to win one to get it, and you know you're playing catch up with Sanderson.
Yeah, if we win all three, we give ourselves a chance. Saints have got some tough games. The top teams are chalking each other off a little bit over the next three games. So all we can do is what we can do. But, you know, if we can finish in top four, it'll be outstanding for us.
Keep in touch via Twitter. Just follow at Radio General WHR.
Your feel better station.
Radio General.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yes, it is the Final Hooter, only on Radio General and via loverugbyleague.com. We hope you're enjoying this special so far, which has seen me and Steve Manning head off down to Wembley. We've had our discussion points. We've already looked at the good, the bad and the ugly of Rugby League. Let's get some post-match reaction. Now, we've already seen the coaches or had the coaches on for their relevant thoughts. But let us now hear from the players. So, coming up over the next 10 minutes, you're going to be hearing from Kevin Sinfield, Kylie Lulai, Rob Burrow, Tom Briscoe, and finally, with myself, Zach Hardacre.
Yeah, it's right up there, Dave. To lose five has been horrible. So, to finally get our hands on it is really special. But, you know, not just for myself and the guys who've played and lost. It's great for our coaching team, it's great for the players, it's great for the club. You know, our family and friends over the years and supporters have had to keep coming down here and spend their hard-earned money and then drive back up that M1. Disappointing and disillusioned with how we've performed. So today's one about perseverance as a group, perseverance as a club, and certainly perseverance by a lot of people out there who hopefully today we send them home smiling and I don't think today erases those 5 or 6 defeats. I don't think I'd ever want those erasing, but certainly a special moment. Look, the players will get a lot of credit here tonight, but the guy sat next to me masterminded that. And to get a team like ours to play with a ruthless streak is difficult, because there's some guys in there who want to play champagne rugby right from the start. And the champagne rugby has worked for us from time to time, but today weren't about that. Today was about a ruthless performance and about a game plan that we executed as well as we could, I think, as a group, but masterminded by Brian and some of the other members of the coaching team, and he deserves a lot of credit, because the win against Warrington in the semi was down to a very, very good game plan again. So I'm delighted for Brian as well. There's always been a resolve. I just think you've heard us speak about at the start of the week, in particular about we've just not played as well as we could here on Challenge Cup final day, and to be here today and execute a plan like we did is satisfying. You've had the knockdowns like we have over the years. To take 15 years for a club like ours to finally get their hands back on the trophy, it's too long, but we've not deserved it as well, so today's a special one. It got a little bit twitchy when it was 16-10 for a little while, weren't it? You know, perhaps in the past we may have gone away from our plan. The fact we stuck at it, I think probably the word of the day for me here is perseverance. We persevered with our plan and it got the game, and for the last 15 years, the group, the club, our fans have had to persevere through quite a bit of adversity. So we stand here today smiling, which is great.
Joined by Leeds Rhinos, Kylie Lulay. And Kylie, Challenge Cup winner. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Get the monkey off the back, really. Very happy for the group of players that have been here for so long. I don't know, we've had six goes beforehand and never done the job. So this wasn't just for the players here, but the past players. They've been green for the club and they've got their joy.
Do you get the feeling that it's like a monkey lifted off the back now for the club?
Yeah, not for the club, but for the players. Like Kev, been through so much, done so much for the club. Highly respected at the club and amongst the players. Very happy for him.
And it was a good game as well, wasn't it? I thought that Leeds controlled it from about the 15th minute right through till just after half time, and then Cass really came back, didn't they?
Yeah, completions. You know, we got to our completions and kicks were good, defence was good. And Cass is one of those teams, you give them a sniff, you know, they'll take every opportunity. But I'm just glad that we got the win. Set up, done what we executed what we set out to do.
Well, Robbie Birrell, at last you've got a Challenge Cup winner's medal. How good is that?
It's an amazing feeling. We've tried so long and so hard and failed so many times, so it's nice to finally get it.
What Castleford Tigers did do, though, they kept in that game, 6 points in it, but Ryan's try in the corner. I was screaming for a drop goal before that, but Danny decided he'd wait and get a 13-point buffer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Castleford are an amazing side, so we knew we needed to stick to his game plan, be good at it, and that way we give ourselves a chance of winning. But they're never going to lay down. They're a quality team.
I asked Brian if there was a monkey on the back. It's gone now. You've won every medal possible, and perhaps now you can kick on as Wigan did last year and do the double.
Well, that's his goal. We obviously aim high every year and have high goals, and we've notched one now.
And have you got time to think about Saints, or is that going to be 24 hours, 48 hours, Robbie?
We'll turn his focus to that, but at the moment we're going to enjoy tonight, and then we'll readdress that next week.
Well, Tom Briscoe, a nightmare scenario last year in a losing side. This year you're in a winning side. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I think two completely different games. Today was dry and red hot, and last year was throwing it down and a bit cold. So and obviously we lost that game and didn't score a try, and tonight I managed to get over and lift the trophy at the end as well.
The opening try that set you off, albeit that Cass responded, but in that second half there were 6 points in it, going to the last 15.
Yeah, we knew coming out at half time the job wasn't done, and we know that Cass are a very good attacking side, and they were going to throw everything at us and test our defence, and I thought we handled that great and managed to just play the game out at our pace and do what we needed to do.
And if there was any pressure as such now, Leeds Rhinos have won a winner's medal, and winners of Grinsley, you've got yours.
Yeah, obviously a cup that's eluded this club for many years and this group of players, so I feel very privileged to be part of the group that finally achieved that for the Leeds Rhinos, and especially some of the players here tonight. It's straight back into Super League the week after. We'll make the most of this weekend, and then come Monday, Tuesday, we'll definitely be focusing on St Helens and another tough game to challenge for the top of the Super League.
Well, joined by Zach Hardacre, Challenge Cup winner. How good does that sound?
Awesome, mate. Obviously, it's my fourth year at Leeds, and it's the only trophy that I've not got yet. I'm only 22, and I'm really thankful for the team that I've been in over the years and won some awesome trophies. But we're going to celebrate tonight, and we're all really going to enjoy it. We've gone for a beer out on the pitch after everyone's left, and we'll just try to soak it up, because you don't win the Challenge Cup every year. So it's we're thankful getting into the final, and our performance today were pretty good, and we've come away with a trophy.
Castleford played their part, but I certainly thought that Leeds had the upper hand for most of the game, to be fair.
Yeah, obviously Castle come up with some dangerous plays, their first try were a tricky kick, and obviously that's what they've been doing all year. They've got some really good players going on, and that's why Castleford, where they are in the league at the moment, they've been terrific all year, so they fully deserved the final today. And we didn't we didn't turn up today thinking we were going to win it straight away. We knew we had to go through a pace, go through a ton of plays that we knew what we could do. It was just a matter of turning up on the day and producing them goods, and apparently today we did. We got in front and we kept them down in their half. We didn't get that out of their half for a number of minutes, and that took it toll on them. I think we're tired in the game, and that's when we come alive, you see. And like I say, Ryan Hall with two spectacular tries like he does. Magsy comes with a try that he catches a ball outside from Luke Dawn, which he's not really known for, catching the balls in the air, and he comes up with a try. You know, your big players win your big games, and I think everyone chipped in today, and it's been a brilliant feeling so far.
What's it like playing with these halfbacks? You know, because I mean, they'll go down as all-time Leeds legends, won't they?
Yeah, I need to pinch myself every time. It's really strange for me. I'm 22, and I grew up years and years ago watching Leeds Rhinos and watching, you know, the generation that you all talk about. You know, your Jonesy, your JPs, your Kev Mags, Magsy, Rob Burrow, Ryan Bailey. You know, you watch all these guys and you think, oh, what would it be like playing with them guys? And now I'm here, it's a bit strange because I don't feel like that now. But if I take myself out of the zone for 5-10 minutes, I just think, wow, I'm here. Do you know what I mean? So, like I say, the credit to themselves and the club and their families, because the performances that they're putting week in, week out, and they have done for a number of years now, it's been ecstatic, to be fair. And me to be part of the team has been brilliant, so I can't thank them for the trophies that I've won already as well, so it's been brilliant.
There's plenty more to come. It would be nice to go to Old Trafford again one night and win it.
Yeah, 100%. You know, the defeat down at London, I was personally really hurt by that, because if we'd have won that, we've got 3 games remaining. We've got Saints, Wigan, Hull. If we'd have won all three, we'd have took the league leaders, and that puts you in good stead for the playoffs. You know, that gives you a bit of an upper hand come Old Trafford time in October. But obviously, we've lost that. Even though we're going to still try for the last 3 games, we're knowing no illusion, we're going to have a good time tonight, spend it with friends and family, with supporters all the way through his lives, not just me, but the rest of the boys. And like I say, yeah, we'll enjoy tonight and probably tomorrow. And then, like I say, come Monday, it's switch on for the Saints at home. And you can't get any bigger game, can you, really, than coming back from a Challenge Cup victory. But like I say, I hope this confidence and the way we've been playing the last couple of weeks, especially against Warrington, and we're backed up again today, and take that on to the rest of the season. If you can do all that, I reckon we'll be there thereabouts this year, and get, like you say, getting to Old Trafford is a big game for us now. So like I say, we'll enjoy tonight, chalk it off Monday morning, and crack on with the season.
David Parkinson
on Radio General,
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better Station.
This is, of course, the final hooter. It's Radio General's look at the rugby league scene. We're also coming via loverugbyleague.com. And we've been hearing all about the weekend's big game at Wembley, the Challenge Cup final, which saw Leeds lift the trophy for the first time in 15 years. Now, the week before, there was a round of Super League to catch up on. So here are the results from that particular occasion. So this was round 24, remember, and it was St Helens 40, Wakefield 16, Salford 34, Catalan 22, Warrington 48, Castleford 10, London 40, Leeds 36. Yeah, I know, a win for London against Leeds. You wouldn't have betted on that one, would you? Bradford 34, Hull 28, and Huddersfield 28, Widnes 14. So what did all that mean to the table? Well, the loss for Widnes Vikings meant that Hull Kingston Rovers, who actually drew with Wigan, I didn't mention that one, 14-all was that particular result. It meant that they closed the gap ever so slightly on the Widnes Vikings. But the top eight is St Helens, it's Wigan, it's Leeds in your top three. Warrington tucked in fourth place. Castleford, Huddersfield, Catalan and Widnes making up the rest of the top eight. Now, teams who are hopeful of still making a final charge over the last 3 games of the regular campaign, they are Hull Kingston Rovers in ninth, Salford Red Devils in 10th, Wakefield Wildcats in 11th, and I don't think that Hull are going to be mounting much of a challenge. They're tucked in a little bit behind. And as we know, Bradford Bulls and London Broncos, both gone, both relegated to the Championship for next season. So, what I have to say, though, is that well done to Bradford Bulls, because ever since they've had the relegation confirmed, well, they've been on fire. The last 3 games they've played, they've won. They're starting to put together their squad for next season and their tilt at the Championship. And interesting to note that London Broncos continue to sign players as well. They've just signed Wes Ngwama from the Penrith Panthers. and he played for Fiji in the last World Cup last year, and it's going to be good to see him knocking around in the Championship next season, albeit for London Broncos. But everybody's strengthening, of course, and it's all looking pretty good. Now, we saw one round of the Championship, which was played in that particular week as well, and here are the results. Well, if we just take it over the last 7 days, we saw a Championship result between Sheffield and Rochdale. Sheffield winning that one by 48 points to nil. And then if we go back just a little bit further, so the previous results were as follows. It was Batley Bulldogs 14, Dewsbury Rams 16, Halifax 4, Featherstone 20. It was Keighley Cougars 18, North Wales Crusaders 30, Rochdale Hornets 16, Doncaster 22, Sheffield Eagles 36, Whitehaven 28, Swinton Lions 6, Lee Centurions 62, and Workington Town 32, Barrow Raiders 18. Now, if we look at then Championship 1, here are the results that have happened in that competition. It was Oldham 38, Hemel Stags 10, University of Gloucestershire All Golds 12, London Scholars 36, Gateshead Thunder 58, South Wales Scorpions 24, and Hunslet Hawks 18, York City Knights 20. Now, in the regular game that's played on the eve of the Wembley final in Championship 1, it usually sees London Scholars at home. They've been playing for the last few weeks, really, over at Enfield, and it was Hunslet who won that one by 36 points to 10. So plenty of results and other things happening. And as I mentioned before, really important charge both at the top and bottom of the Championship table. Four teams already confirmed relegated, just the one relegation spot still up for grabs. And it looks like a direct shootout between Whitehaven and between Batley. But all that Whitehaven have to do is just ensure that they get more points than Batley over the next couple of weeks, and then they'll secure their place in the new look Championship next season, which will contain London Broncos and the Bradford Bulls. Now, looking at the Championship 1 table, you've got York City Knights out there on top, you've got Hunslet tucked in just behind them, and Oldham. It's going to be one heck of a battle to see who's going to escape the clutches of that. Now, coming up this time round in Super League, there's another round of fixtures. It's round 25, and the following games will take place. It's Warrington against Huddersfield, it's Hull against Hull Kingston Rovers, Leeds against St Helens, Widnes against Wigan. To Sunday, we've got Castleford taking on Bradford, and Wakefield Wildcats against the Salford Red Devils. Now, it's an important round, this one. It's round 25 of the Super League competition. And what we actually have, the State of Mind round. So the State of Mind round is something which has been going for about 4 years in the Super League now. Super League has got right behind it. It's all about mental health and bringing those issues to the fore. It's also all about bringing further support for this worthy cause. Now, our man Steve Manning, who has featured an awful lot in this particular edition of the Final Hooter, he caught up with St Helens skipper Paul Wellens, and then find his take on the State of Mind.
Well, St Helens, Paul Wellens, obviously the last game was blighted with a couple of injuries, but whatever happened on the injury front, the bottom line is the results went for that weekend, because you're 3 points clear with three to play, and clearly the top spot is in your own destiny.
Yeah, and you know, I think at the start of the season, if someone had offered you three games to play and you know, top spot was within your grasp, then you'd have certainly took it. So we've got to be very pleased with that. I'm very pleased with the way the season's gone so far. I think ultimately now we just want to capitalise on all the hard work that we've put in this year, and you know, regardless of which personnel take the field on a week to week basis, it's the, you know, the efforts and the commitments and the attitude side of things that in these big games and close games towards the back end of the year ultimately get you over the line.
And this is round 25, it's the State of Mind round. Your thoughts on this great thing that the Rugby League have bought into?
Oh yeah, I think it's, you know, it's fantastic, you know, for a long, long time, over many years, you know, with the state of mind thing, mental illness and that type of thing was never really discussed and just kind of remained untouched. But, you know, in recent years, there's, you know, been really highlighted and how, you know, players have been affected in a number of sports and people in all walks of life, to be honest. So the thing is with illnesses like that, they're non-discriminatory, are they? They matter, you know, what job you have, how much you earn, who you are, that, you know, if you're suffering from those things, you know, they can affect you badly. So it's important that you have avenues open to be able to discuss with people and getting rid of that stigma that people shouldn't be able to talk about their feelings.
Because of that perception, rightly or wrongly, rugby league, it's a man's game, it's an hard man's game, and that's why we all go watching it. But again, you've just got to step back these days. I mean, the culture of perhaps 10, 15 years ago has gone, isn't it? It's all about the now.
You know, those the kind of that old school culture of that you know you just crack on with things, you bottle up your emotions, you don't really speak about things that you're not quite happy with, and that was kind of the done thing. But ultimately, that could be quite unhealthy if you bottle up your emotions and you dwell on things that perhaps that you're not happy with. I think what's more and more evident now within rugby league is that there's an open, you know, people are quite frank with each other. You can pull someone aside, you can sit people down. There's avenues and phone numbers that you can call if you need to speak to anybody, which can only be a positive thing for the game and the health of our players moving forward.
So that was Paul Wellens there speaking to our man Steve Manning all about the state of mind, and here's a little bit more about it. So state of mind, it returns this season for a fourth year, and this year it's a family theme and a reminder that rugby league creates opportunities for people to engage with others who share a common interest. Rugby league is playing its part in raising awareness, providing information and advice and signposting, tackling stigma associated with mental health problems, and reaching groups who may not normally access usual health service or support. Fans and amateur players can learn lessons from sportsmen and women and coaches about handling pressure, coping with setbacks, adversity, and motivation of self and others. Now, there is 10 ways that you can all look at looking after mental health. Those are available on the loverugbyleague.com website. And whether you're attending games at a grassroots level or Super League, it gives people the opportunity to mix and be around friends and family away from whatever's going on inside someone's head. One of the key components of your support network is the theme for this year's State of Mind Round, which is family. And family fits in well with the ethos of Rugby League, really. So fans are being encouraged to share the video and their experiences using the hashtag on Twitter of hashtag SOMFamily. And there'll be State of Mind volunteers at games across Super League, starting off over at Warrington. We've also got a little bit of news to bring you, because just before this show was being put together, we had news break from Castleford Tigers that Daryl Clark, he's probably the worst kept secret of the game, but he's off. So Daryl Clark has signed for Warrington for the next couple of seasons. It's a big signing, that one, to be honest, for Warrington. He's dynamic around the play of the ball. He's been a player that I've really enjoyed watching over the course of this season. And here's what the official press release said. It says, Daryl Clark's move from Castleford to Warrington has finally been confirmed. Clark, 21, agreed the move back in 2013, and it's a deal which helped save the Tigers from the threat of administration. And he'll link up with the Wolves on a four-year deal starting from next season. He said, I've really enjoyed my time here at Castleford. This is my hometown club and I'll always be a Cast fan. My proudest moment has been helping this team reach the Challenge Cup final, and I'll continue to give my all to help Castleford Tigers reach the Super League Grand Final. Hooker Clark made his first team debut against Huddersfield in February 2011 and signed a five-year deal with the club at the end of that season. The Tigers' chief exec, Steve Gill, said the sale was agreed back in 2013 when the club had a real threat of going into administration, and this decision was made to ensure that we had financial stability at the club. We negotiated Daryl's services for this season as part of the sale, and he's been an integral part of our success this season. The club would like to place on record our thanks to Daryl for his professional attitude and commitment this year, and we wish him all the best for the future. So that's a great signing for Warrington, that is, isn't it? Probably, as we've hinted on for most of the year, the worst-kept secret in rugby league that he'd agreed this deal. But lots and lots to look forward to from a Warrington point of view. Speaking of former Warrington players, Tyrone McCarthy's on his way back to Super League. He's been playing over in the Australian competition, not the NRL, but he's been playing for the Northern Pride Club, which I think play in the Queensland Cup or whatever it's called this particular season. And he has agreed a 2-year contract with Hull Kingston Rovers, so he'll link up with Chris Chester, who we talked about just before. Some things to look forward to and to look out for over the course of the next couple of weeks. From the Rugby League, now Danny Tickle, he needs just one try to grab a career century of touchdowns. Paul Sykes needs 6 goals to reach 500 for his career. Pat Walker, formerly of the Dewsbury Rams, currently of Sheffield Eagles, he needs 20 points to reach 1,000 for his career. And Andy Kane needs 2 tries to reach 150 career touchdowns. Now, he's scored 128 of those for Featherstone. Greg McNally also needs just 4 tries to reach a career century of touchdowns. He's recently gone over for his 50th try for Lee. Other milestones, Rob Burrow needs 15 points to reach 1,000 for Leeds. Peter Green over at Sheffield just needs the one appearance to get up to 150. And Matt Carbutt of Doncaster, he needs just one more appearance to reach his grand 100. So my thanks to Steve Manning for his assistance on this particular show. My thanks to guests Brian McDermott, Daryl Powell, Kevin Sinfield, Kyle Uli, Rob Burrow, Tom Briscoe, Zach Hardacre and Paul Wellens. All that remains for us to say is this.
Listening to the Final Hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General, hospital radio for Warrington.
Tell you what, I'll try that again. Mispress the button. Always helps if you get the right timing, doesn't it?
You've been listening to the Final Hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General, hospital radio for Warrington.